Okay. I think we're up to Simon Shin Mem Tes, according to our Seder. Shin Mem Tes, Isra Hanoa B'meisu V'tachrichav, says the Shulchan Aruch, controversially, Meis Bein Akum Bein Yisrael, Tachrichav Asurin B'Hanoa. A mace, whether Jew or Gentile, it goes without saying the mace, him or herself, but even the shrouds are usur behanah. How do we know? So the Shach points out, the Gemara learns from Gzeira Shava, Vatikaver Sham Miriam, and the Arfu Shamas HaGlob HaNachal, just like the Egla Ruf is usur behanah, so to a mace is usur behanah, and the mace includes the tachrichen mida oraisa. Those are batel to the mace. What counts as tachrichen? And this would be similar to us from Hilchos Tefillin, etc. When does something count as the sort of holder of something else? The davka says mina latzorik of nasim alav. Only for your two things: hazmana, meaning you intended to use these shrouds for this person, and you actually physically put them alav. Hazmana levada filasam latzorik alach shemesh lo nesru. But if all you did was hazmana, meaning I sewed shrouds for this mace, I even sewed them after he died, even like mamish right next to him with total kavanah of him, etc. But I didn't actually physically put them on the mace. They are not usur behanah. Same as everything else in halacha, right? If I make a tefillin zekel and I don't actually put the tefillin in it, it's not usur for secular purposes, etc. Dazmana lav milsa, because we paskin azmana is lav milsa. Bechinim nasu lav lizmin al kachat yila dayim lo nesru. Likewise, if I put the shrouds on the mace, but I did not intend to set them aside for him, they are not usur. There's one sort of little catch here, which is that if when I put the shrouds on the mace, I intend to leave them on the mace, then that's a hazmana and a physical usage simultaneously. They would be usur behanah. But meaning, if I never intended to put them on the to bury the mace in these shrouds, and I just put them on by accident or something, then they're not usur behanah. Okay, this itself. The shrouds, I guess, I never actually got a shy about shrouds being usur behanah. Doesn't come up a lot.
If I want to put it on
so
that so the tachrichim come on, does that count as intent for it?
No, because I don't intend to bury him in them. So that would be a case of nas number lo v'zmino l'kach. Now, what's controversial here? What's controversial here is when he says, even a mace akum is usur behanah. Because the Gra points out that a big machlokas rishonim, we learned Bava Kama, but that was probably a number of years ago by now. There's a bit Tosfos and the Rashba there on the sugya of Bor, and he points out that the Gra here points out that the Rashba and Tosfos say that a mace akum is mutter bahana. The already before the Gra, the Nekudas Akesa points out that it's a machlokas rishonim. Okay, the Nekudas Akesa doesn't give a clear achra, but the Gra gives a clear achra that he passing against the Mechaber, that a mace akum is mutter banda. So there's a machlokes rishonim about a mace akum in the Pesche Tshuva Sifkatan. Aleph, he quotes from the Chuvas Evan Hashom, makes a compromise. He says maybe Mace Yisrael is also Midoraisa, but a Mace Akum is only Mutter Midorabanan, and therefore we're a little more makel by enough from Mace Akum, like Makam Choler in some cases where we're makel and Yisrael Hanad Midorabanan. Okay, that's the general assumption of the poskim, is that we're Machir like the Machaber against the Gra, that a Mace Akum is also Mutter Bahana. Halach Lemaisa. We're machmer, we're not nana from a mace akum, just like we're not nana from a mace yisrael, but it's more makel, because it's machlokas, and maybe it's only drabanan, so it's more makel, and one of the examples in which we're more makel, for example, is how about anatomy lab, right? So is anatomy lab considered hana'a from a mace or not? On the one hand, right, when you go to medical school, right, you have a cadaver, etc. Is that considered hanah from a mace? On the one hand, you're being nana, you're learning your medical school by using this mace, so it's hanah. On the other hand, all of the classic achronim who discussed autopsies did not say it was a problem because of asur hanah. of Isser Hana. The note of Yehuda is the famous Achron of Asher autopsies when they first invented autopsies. Like, he was the Gadol Hador when they first invented autopsies, I think. So that's why he was, like, the famous one who Assered. Autopsies, most of them did not. But this is a bit of a machlokas. The Chasam Sofer thought it was Isser Hana. So, for example, hold on, let's just how about an autopsy slash, what do they call it? I think they call it anatomy lab, right? So is it considered hana'a or is it not hana'a? The Chasam Sofer thinks that it is considered hana'a. His Talmud, the Maharam Shik, also thinks that. And in modern poskim, meaning modern poskim from when I was your age, the Chalkis Yaakov of Yaakov Bryce from Switzerland also thinks that. However, the Stimas Hanoda Bihuda, the Noda Yehuda has the biggest, most seminal tshuva on autopsies, and he never suggests it's an Isra Hanah on the Shut Machane Chayim. Also says Mefurish it's not Hanah, and the Shut Har Tzvi of Rabbi Pesach Frank says Mefurish it is. Says Mefurish it's not Hanah. Lemaisa, what's the machlokas? Without getting into, this really has a lot to do, I think, with the Gersa, the Rif, at the very end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, and the sugya of Hanah Shofar, and this was lovely Hanas didn't do, etc. We're not going to get into it now. Lemaisa, machlokas, is this called Hanah or not? Because you're not actually gaining anything. You're just like learning medicine. Is learning medicine called Hanah or not called Hana? And that's the machlokas. The Chasam Sofer and others says, yeah, you're learning. That's called Hana. What greater Hana is there than the intellectual? While the Har Tzvi says, no, you're not nene. You're just like learning things. That's not called nene from something. That's just learning something. Lemaisa, Rav Shlomo Zalman, gives a pshara. And he says that he thinks that we can be Mekel by Meis Akum, but we should be Machmer by Meis Yisrael, because Meis Akum is only Rabbanan, like this Pesach Tshuva. And that is Rav Shlomo Zalman's. He makes a Pshara. He says, by Meis Yisrael, we should be Machmer. By Meis Akum, we can be Mekel. And, okay, this is one of the big issues in modern-day medicine, etc. If you're going to medical school in Kutzler, it's much easier because you can assume your mace is a mace akum. They don't come with like identifying tags, but there's a very strong rove that the mace is a mace akum because almost everyone in Kutzler is an akum. So then, according to Shlomo Zalman, there's really no problem whatsoever. Even a Meis Yisrael, it could be that Lemaisa, you could be so meich on the Mekilim if the only issue was Isser Hana'a, especially if sometimes in an anatomy lab, like one person does the cutting, the other person just watches. They have teams. If you're just watching, then it could be even the Machmir would admit that's not Hana'a to just look at something if you're not actually handling it. However, give me a second, this is the smaller halachic issue when it comes to autopsies. Because the mindset is a good sound to be said, even more make a little Shlomo Zalman, for stock, and we need to have medical schools, etc., just say that it is not Hana. The bigger issue, which is why the Nudbi Huda Asir autopsies, is Nibble Hamis. Nibble Hamis. You're not allowed to desecrate the mace. Not because you're getting Hana from the mace, because you're damaging the mace. So, what is the main reason to Aser is, this is the Noda Yehuda, Nibble Hamis. It's hard to deny that it is a Nibble Hamis. It's hard to deny that it's Nibble Hamis to like take a mace and chop it up, etc. It's certainly respect for the mace. And that's the main reason why we assume that autopsies are Aser and that anatomy labs are Aser. Nibble Hamis only applies to a Jewish cadaver. But that's the main reason why, for example, in Israel, whenever they want to do an autopsy, The police want to do an autopsy on someone. The rabbi always does shtadlonis, shtreichelt, and not to. Or in some communities, they, you know, have riots about it, etc. Everyone has their own signon. Also why it's really a very, very big halachic shayla to go to medical school and do an anatomy lab if you are dealing with a Jewish cadaver, because it is a clear nivel hames. There's a lot of halachic literature about this. I'm not going to summarize all of it now, but I want to summarize the, if you want a very nice summary of this sugya, which of these sort of poskim of the previous generation has really good summaries of all medical sugyas? No, Rav Moshe does not have really good summaries of anything. Rav Moshe doesn't summarize. He's Mechadish. The Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer, Chilek Daled, Simen Yudaled. Tzitz Eliezer is also Mechadish, but he's also really summarized, organized the Sugya, etc. Yeah, Rav Moshe finds you with the Igros Moshe. You're either, it's a very short one, or maybe she just wrote off the cuff, or you're trying to hold the cuff in a really tough answer. It's not like, okay, here's an easy presentation of the sugya. That's not what Rav Moshe does. The Tzitz Eliezer is very good at being the Chadish and also giving you a presentation of the sugya. If Chelek Galus Simen Yudalad, you could get the whole sugya set out very nicely. Let me just, what's the big machlokas here? The big machlokas here is Avadetz Nivel Hameis. The question is whether there's a heter of Pikuach Nefesh. And that is the big machlokas. The big question is, what about pikuach nefesh? After all, in modern times, if the doctors don't do anatomy lab, then they won't be able to save patients. You can imagine if we shut down every anatomy lab in every medical school in the country now, then like lots of people would die because the doctors wouldn't be trained. Okay, maybe 1,000 years ago. They would have been trained without an anatomy lab because they were bad anyway. They rolled by anyway. There's nothing you can do. Now that we have advanced science and we can save people if we train the doctors well, if you close all the anatomy labs, then people will die. So is that called? Pikuach nefesh? So this is a big machlokes. Achronim. There are three basic opinions. One is the mainstream opinion. But let's go from the radical Chomer. The Shut Bin Yitzion, that's with Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Laner. He says, what about Pikuach Nefesh? By the way, the Noda Yehuda wasn't even dealing with anatomy labs. He was dealing with, they just did autopsies to try to like figure out diseases and things like that. Like, I don't know if it was part of the medical training, it was just part of the research. Okay, the same idea, whether it's research or training. The Bin Yitzion has one opinion. He says, Pikuach nefesh is not matir nivel hames. Whoa, big chiddush. Taka it is pikuach nefesh, but it's still also do nivel hames. Even if people are going to die, you can't do nivel hames. Why? He's a tremendous chiddush. Pikuach nefesh is only matir ben olam hazeh, but not ben olam hazeiro. I can't violate your rights to save someone else. If you're alive, then. Let's say someone's drowning, and I need to, like, borrow your boat to save him, and you don't let me. If you're alive, I can borrow your boat to save him anyway, because you're chayav to save him with your boat, so you're chayav to lend me your boat. But once someone's dead, they're pater from mitzvos, they don't have to save other Jews, and therefore, their body is pater from pikuach nefesh, and therefore, I have the right to desecrate their body, and they have no obligation to give their body, and therefore, not matir nivel hameis, because the mace is potter from the mitzvah of Hatzolos Nefashos, and that's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that I can't take away one person's rights to save another person. That's a big Chiddush that's radical, that's not generally accepted. The accepted Shita is the Noda Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer and Rov Poskim. What are the Noda Yehuda and Chassam Sofer? 99% of Poskim say. Anyone know the famous Chiddush of the Noda Yehuda here? And again, not that old pages of an art, but it's a very important halacha to know. The famous chiddush in the Noda Yehuda is that it's not called pikuach nefesh unless there is a chole b'faneinu. He makes an argument of Eilat Dorosof. Anything that could save a life, then you might as well throw the whole Torah in the garbage. Because everything you do might save a life someday, etc. After all, we should all eat treif because maybe there's some extra protein, whatever, and it'll make us healthier, and someday we might live longer, right? And we should all, you know, work on Shabbos because, you know, maybe, you know, we'll need this money to save our lives if a tragedy happens, etc. And aim at the result. Then everyone everyone should go to college and work on Shabbos because they might need the grades to get into medical school and be a doctor and save people. And it can't be that anything that might someday save a life is called Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh has to be a concrete Pikuach Nefesh. There's a guy who's dying, we're saving him. That's Pikuach Nefesh, that's Zoche Isurim. But someday we'll be able to save people is not called Pikuach Nefesh. That's just called, you know, figure out some other solution. It's not called Pikuach Nefesh, the abstract idea that someday we'll save lives, like statisticians do, right? Like Peter Singer type Pikuach Nefesh. That's not Pikuach Nefesh. It's not because statistically, if you do these Averos, then more people will be saved someday. No, Pikuach Nefesh means it's a guy, a specific guy who's dying in front of us. I mean, in front of me, yes, he might dial out, so I can hear about him on the telephone. If they call me on the telephone when I drive on Shabbos, that's Pikuach Nefesh. But to say, drive your ambulance around on Shabbos in case there's a heart attack, a guy having a heart attack on the street, you'll be right there. That's not Pikuach Nefesh. There has to be a chol b'faninu. That is the accepted halachic psak of the Nodi Yudin of Zam Sofer and 99% of Poskim, that it's not called Pikuach Nefesh. The radical kula psak is the Shut Machane Chaim. Rav Chaim Sofer, I think he was a Rav in Munkach in the 19th century. He, Taka, says that if the only way to save lives is to, if the only way to save lives is to do autopsies, that is called Pikuach Nefesh. What about Ein L'Davar Sof? Then, why can't I, do my medical school homework on Shabbos because I'll be a doctor and save lives? And he says, no, I can't do my medical school homework on Shabbos because I could just, do it during the week and minimize my other activities during the week. There's another option. Whenever there's another option, there's no hefter Pikuach Nefesh. I can't eat treif so I'll be healthy, because you can find healthy kosher foods instead. I can't work on Shabbos to learn to be a doctor, because I can work on Chol to learn to be a doctor. He says, but for autopsies, if there's no other option, then there would be a hefter of Pikuach Nefesh. So he actually says there is a hefter, he's the Das Yachid of Pikuach Nefesh, if there's no other option. Okay, the main Shir Halacha follows the Nodi Yehuda and the Sam Sofer, that theoretically there is a Hefter of Pikuach Nefesh, it's just not called Pikuach Nefesh, unless there is a Cholub Faneinu, but this is a big, big machlokes that really ties into many, many, many different issues when it comes to medical Halacha. Halacha L'maisa, what should someone do if they are in medical school, if they get a Goyish cadaver? Then they're fine, because the Noyser Nimel Ameis, and Rav Shlomo Zalman's Meikel, there's no problem with Hanah, because after all, many Echronim hold there's no problem with Hanah. Anyway, that's fine. What if they are in medical school in Israel? And, what if they're in medical school in Chutz Laretz and haven't, I don't know how you do know you have a Jewish cadaver. You follow the Moshe line ropes as soon as a Goyish cadaver. They don't, tell you a person's life story. If he has a bris mila. In America, a lot of Christians have a bris mila. Doesn't prove anything. But what about in Israel? If you go to medical school in Israel and you have a Jewish cadaver, then that's potentially two problems. One, Nivla Meis, which is a big problem for everyone in the world, but the Machne Chayim. And number two, maybe it's a Chashash of Isra Hanah. Rosh Hashanah's Machra, those are Choshish for Isra Hanah. So what you do if you're in school in Israel and you have a cadaver, okay, everyone has to ask their Rav. But Lemaisa, the best etza for someone stuck in medical school with a Jewish cadaver is they usually have teams, I think, working on cadavers nowadays. So just let the other people on your team do all the cutting and you just watch. I think in most medical schools that's allowed. And then you're not doing Nivla Meis. Now I understand you're participating, you're benefiting from Nivla Meis, but you're not doing mamish Nivla Meis, so there's more of doing Mako, and there's more of doing Mako, it's not enough, you're just watching. So Lamaisa, for the sake of going to medical school, you can be part of the team and just don't cut up the Meis yourself. What happens if the only way to go to medical school is to cut off the mace yourself? Then it's a very big halachic problem, because it's ma'amash adas yachad b'shtei chayim, and, you know.
What if literally everybody else on the team is Jewish?
What if everyone is from on the team? So if there's some non-from people on the team, then a big shas ad chak, we could be mekel, they would have done it anyway. What if everyone on the team is from, then I don't know. It's a tricky problem. When it comes to Davka Eretz Yisrael, if I recall correctly, I think Rav Gorin said no. It's different if you have a Jewish country. So if you have a Jewish country, there's different rules of Pikuach Nefesh, and you need Jewish medical schools, you need Jewish everything. And so he gave more of a heter. Not everyone necessarily likes to rely on that, and we will leave that at Sarach Ion for now and go back to the Shulchan Aruch after a word from Aryeh. What if the person signs over before they die, which is actually, I think, common in these things. The signing over before you die help. So according to the Binyan Sion, Avad, it helps, because his whole point was that I have no right to desecrate Reuven to save Shimon, but if Reuven wants me before he died, then Lachor, I do have the right. That is actually a big machlokas. The Chassam Sofer says it doesn't help. Chassam Sofer says it doesn't help. The Maharam Shik says it doesn't help. The Binyan Sion says it does help. So if the guy did, that's it. I think probably everyone in medical schools now, they sign them, I mean, in like democratic countries, sign that they were willing to volunteer. So that would be another tzad l'hakel, because maybe he has the right to be mochel on his nivel. So that would definitely be another tzad l'hakel. But again, it's a minority opinion, so we should try to find another option. That's a good point.
Also, just in terms of the hadnah, I don't understand. Why don't we just view it very simply? Every item in life has a different way of being dead from that item. I have Basar B'chalav, so staring at the Basar B'chalav is not the Hanah of Basar B'chalav. Selling is Hanah. So working on a cadaver in a medical school, staring at it is not being dead. We have Nenet from a cadaver is like everything like a cadaver.
Yeah, but it gets a little tricky because the post can assume that a mace is also brought not even Shalok Kederach HaNasan, or Shalok Kedarka, even in unusual fashions, unlike most things. So it's not so pashut. Yes, you did okay.
So if someone has a choice between going to a medical school with a higher concentration of term students and one with fewer, then they should definitely go to the one.
There's a lot of cheshbonos here. I don't want to commit myself to practical cheshbonos when you have to do some practical investigation of the facts. Okay, let's continue then in some of the details. Beis. Sif Beis talks about not the mace himself, or a lot of these cases might be the mace herself, but what about the accessories? No ye mace hamchor megufo. I dafka wanna take into account the pesle chuvi here. Okay, the beautifications of the mace that are attached, you know, pan nachris kayotiva, like a wig, etc. Asur kama mace atzmar, asur just like the mace himself. Now, just like the mace himself. The dafka shank shur sorry, only if they're tied. Meaning, don't imagine our modern day wigs. I'm not an expert in modern day shetels, but I don't think our modern day shetels are tied onto your wife's hair. This must be something more like a weave or something that they have nowadays. Remember, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't yet wear shetels for religious reasons. That was invented later, that shetels are, a way of covering your hair. He just meant people have shetels. For fashion reasons. So there is something called, like, if someone doesn't have hair, they weave hair into their hair or something. Maybe that's what he means, like tied, or maybe they were just tied on with strings, because it's very primitive.
Also certain types of extensions.
Yeah, whatever, it is extensions. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. And I'm sure in butter, but if it's not tied, it's okay. And that's why you're allowed to take the rings. The rings aren't enough. A guy dies, you can take his rings, you can take his jewelry. Why? Because it's not attached, it's just on. After all, the person's clothing, he dies, and no one said it was Asarana. So likewise, the rings and the bracelets and the necklaces are an Asarana. They're not attached. That's a case of stam. This basically, when you have an artificial substance tied onto your body, you get to decide whether to view it as part of your body or not. If the mace before they died says, "Give my wig to my daughter, give my this, etc." Then they have a gold tooth. They say, "Give my gold tooth to my favorite nephew." You know, let him sell the gold and buy himself a car. Then it's not considered part of their body, and it's mutar b'nava. But if they didn't say anything, the minastam, it is considered part of their body, it's asur b'nava. Saru mamish b'lumtzivah l'asur b'nava. But the hair mamish, that's asur b'nava regardless. Even if someone, a woman's dying, says, "I'm dying, but I feel bad I didn't live a big Yerusha. Cut off my hair, sell it for shekels, and give the money to my daughter." Doesn't help. The hair itself is asur b'nava. That's not so, that's not so pashut, because the Rambam, the Smag, hold that hair is mutar hanah, and the hair is mutar hanah, kol shekein, the wigs and everything else is mutar hanah, but we are machmir, like the Mechaber, like most Rishonim, against the Rambam, the Smag, that hair is asur b'nah, and even artificial things that are tied onto the body are asur b'nah unless the person commanded otherwise. Then the Ramah just ends with Isha Shiyotzi Liharig, Nenim Sarfish and Igradina Sarsenis Nasar Sachikotel. If a woman is just Hailisa and Besdin, then she can still cut off her hair and sell it. It's not a Sramana. There's no base around on a person Hailisa and Besdin, only when they actually die. Okay, they need to say this because, you know, a Shorhanisko that was sentenced in Besdin is also Ramah. But a person who's sentenced in Besdin isn't also Ramah until they die. Okay, we don't have Mrs. Besdin nowadays, so it's not a nafkamina, the nitziv agav, the nikudas akesav, I meant agav, paskins like the Rambam Smag that here is mutar b'nah against the Mechaber. We're machmer like the Mechaber that here is asur b'nah. Let me just mention a few applications. Number one, the Shachans of Kut and Gimel quotes from quotes the Bach that says, even if it's not attached to her hair, it's just like woven, even if it's not tied, it's just woven in, which is a slightly less powerful form of attachment. Any type of attachment is still considered asur b'hanah. And how about when it comes to the jewelry? So that's the discussion of the two discussions. Number one, the Pesach Chuz we've got in Gimel says, how about a gold tooth, a replacement tooth? It says a gold replacement tooth is generally attached, right? You cement it in or something, so that is asur b'hanah. For some reason, he was talking about one just made out of a random bone. I don't know why anyone wants to be an edifice. But anyway, but sometimes people have gold teeth in the old days, maybe even nowadays. So that's asur b'nah. The most interesting discussion, the Pesach Chuz Sukkot Dalet, quoting the Bechor Shor is makel more than the Ramah. The Ramah says we're makel on rings because they're not attached. Says the Bechor Shor, no, we're makel on rings even if they are attached. We're makel on jewelry even if it is attached. What does the Bechor Shor say? He says, because first of all, the Rambam's makel on everything. And even if we don't hold like him, he says, in the Daikon Rishonim, the Isser is only things that are meant to replace part of your body, like a wig that replaces your hair, or a false replacement tooth that replaces your teeth. But jewelry is not meant to substitute for part of your body. It's just like clothing. And therefore, we paskin, like the Bechor Shor in the Pesachei Tshuva Dalet, anything that's jewelry is for sure mutar b'hanah. The only shaila is things that are a substitute for part of your body, like false hair, false teeth, false anything. And then it depends if it is attached, whether through weaving or tying, it's usher unless you command otherwise. And if it's not attached, then it is mutar. That's the halacha l'maisa.
What was the difference between attached hair and woven hair?
I think attached hair means it's tied and like it's really hard to untie. Woven means like not woven so hard, like Nanagay weaves that's called tying. I think it just means like it was woven in a braid, but you could easily pull it out.
Donating organs?
What about donating organs? So donating organs, is pasha usher for two reasons at first glance. Number one, it's an isra na. Clearly, hanah, I get someone's organ. And number two, nivel hameis. The only heter of donating organs, though, is pikuach nefesh. Because since we hold like, according to the Binyan Tzion, there's no heter to donate organs. But according to the Noam Yilchasam Sofer, the only reason you can't do an autopsy on everyone is because no cholah b'faneinu. Even they admit you can do an autopsy, Cholub Fanenu. Let's say there are two people who all of a sudden get sick in the same town, in the same block, and it's similar, and one of them dies, and the other one's in the hospital. Then everyone, not that we didn't see them, but we agree you can do an autopsy on the first one, try to see the second one, there's a Cholub Fanenu. But if there's a town, there's a disease spreading, that's a new disease that we don't know, everyone agrees you can do an autopsy, because Bifanenu, there are people who have that disease. So organ donation is Cholub Fanenu. No one takes out an organ and like puts it in the freezer for next year. No, there's a waiting list. There's like mamish a list of people with names and addresses who are waiting for this organ. There's a clear Cholub Fanenu. Therefore, organ donation is pashut nivela mace, and pashut enough from the mace, but it's mutter anyway, because we don't have like the Binyan Sion, and there's a Cholub Fanenu. What I'm not getting into now, the controversial aspect of organ donation is only for a different reason. Right, because when is organ donation mutter to take an organ of a dead person and put it in a live person? Because nivel amesa hana min ames are mutter for pikuach nefesh. What's clearly usher is to take an organ from a live person to put in a live person. That's called, you can't kill Reuven to save Shimon. My chaz is dami dach. So you're not allowed to kill someone to save someone else. Mefurish Gemara in the 8th paragraph of Sanhedrin. And the Gemara doesn't need to say it. The Gemara says it's pashut. So it's pashut that if Reuven's dead, I can take his organs to save Shimon. It's pashut that if Reuven's alive, I can't be like these people in China, whatever, who just like take people they don't like and take out their organs and kill them to save Shimon. What's controversial is when someone's considered alive and when someone's considered dead. That's the only controversial thing. What if someone is what's called nowadays brain dead, meaning their brain has completely stopped functioning to the point where their brain can no longer command their body to beat the heart or breathe with the lungs, etc. But there's a machine that artificially pumps the heart, which then causes the lungs to breathe, etc. That's the famous machlokas nowadays about brain death. The secular world considers that to be dead. It's a big machlokas aposkim. Do we say that's halachically dead? Or do we say that's halachically still alive? The machlokas is because halachically we define alive and dead based on the heart beating and the lungs breathing air. So the question is, does that mean only if the person in his body has an ability to beat his heart? Or even if the heart is being artificially beat by a machine, etc.? That is a big machlokas about brain death nowadays. There are many, many different opinions about this. And that's the big machlokas about poskim. Is a brain dead person considered dead or is he considered alive? If he's alive, l'chora, you can't take his organs for someone else. If he's dead, pasha, you can't take his organs for someone else. Okay, we're not going to poskim that machlokas right now.
Wouldn't a halakhah solution be if you power the machine using a replaceable battery?
There have been a lot of suggestions like that. That Tzitzit Eliezer tried to do something similar to that for slightly different cases in Shari Tzedek, you know, on Shabbos clocks, etc. But Lemaisa, it's just not practical in the real world.
Machter on non-pikuach nefesh cases.
What about organ donation for non-pikuach nefesh? So what about organ donation for non-pikuach nefesh? That is much more controversial because it is a nivel hamace and it is hanah from the mace, and it's not pikuach nefesh, So on the other hand, what's the only tzad l'hakel? Tzad l'hakel might be if the person agreed to donate it, then maybe he's mochel, maybe the mechila works on the nivel. Maybe the mechila can even work on the isser hanah. Or you could have, maybe you could have mechavish svara that the isser hanah is when the doctors put it in, and the doctors are going to do it anyway. And once it's already put into the new person, it's not dead anymore, so there's no isser hanah. That's very, very controversial. Lemaisa, there are other tzadim l'hakel, because when it comes to eyes, cornea transplants, you can't translate a whole eye, but you can translate a cornea. There are svaras that say anything to do with the eye, any blindness is considered light pikuach nefesh. And when it comes to the skin, there are actually deos in shas that the skin might not be usher b'hanah midaraisa, even though it's hard to say it's not nivel ames. Lemaisa, these are very controversial. It's not pashut. If someone were to ask me for advice, should they sign to donate their, their driver's license, that after their mevah esrim, I mean, if they're made of estrogen, they won't take it. But I'm just saying that to not people say, tell us something. If they're made of estrogen, should they donate their cornea and their skin? I would say no, don't get into these shilas, especially since that's not what there's a shortage of. Anyway, the shortages of other things. But, you know, these are all very, very subtle, complicated issues. Okay. If Gimel, something that I don't think really people do nowadays, how you aviv imos mizaknol of kelim, if the parents were so distraught that their kid died, that they were just throwing clothing onto the beer, onto the mita, onto the mace, throwing clothing onto the mace, to say, oh, let it all be aser banot, because we want to lose all our money because we're so sad. The poskim assume that it would only be aser banot derabanan. It's not actually shrouds. It's not actually bottles of the mace. It's just since it looks like shrouds because it's clothing on the mace, it would be aser banot derabanan. Mitzvah lacherin latzilon lo nogav mita and gozer. It's a mitzvah on other people to confiscate them, catch in the midair. What do they call it? Interception. It's a mitzvah on other people to do an interception and catch and save their money. Because Hashem is obeyed to save their money, if it hasn't touched the mita yet, once it touched the mita, it's also not too late. Now, Gafi, Mitzilan Chayv Bishmirasim, Yechzirul of Lima, Chosr Zarku, Nesru Chayv Amachel Lashalan, Darvik Zarkul, Mugum Dude Chayz Felistim. This is very philosophically fascinating. It is very against the ethos of the modern world. The parents say, we want to throw these thousands of dollars worth of clothing onto our son's dead body and make them Asr Ba'anah. I catch them in the air, they say, give it back to me, it's my property. I'm not allowed to give it back to them. If I do, they can sue me later and make me pay for being poshea in my shmira. Which is fascinating. Again, the modern ethos is that everyone has their own autonomy. Halacha believes that everyone has their own autonomy within a certain sphere, but that there's such a thing as being irrational. And when someone is irrational, you're chayav to save them from the irrationality. Okay, it's probably not politically correct, but it makes common sense. Avolim nagu basurim, but in any case, he continues. Once it touches the mita, they are also about noam hingshal also shizorkanov. Only if they belong to the person who threw them. What's this rule called in halacha? Ein adam? Meaning, if Reuven throws Shimon's clothing onto the mace, it doesn't become aser banah. Only if Reuven throws Reuven's clothing. What's this rule called? Ein adam oser davar sheino shalom. The hushi is a gamaldashi kaper, you know, and this is only aser if the parents throw it, having in mind they want it to be buried and go down to the grave. Otherwise, it's not even similar to shrouds. Hagah hadath shetiaru alav v'chol akim shemlichal mace on the kor lo nesur l'nosur l'naslik v'ro. The board they put the mace on for the tara and all the kalim that the wheels, etc. they use to bring the mace out, all the utensils that the Chevra Kadish uses don't become aser banah because the mace was never put on them with intention to bury them with the mace. No, this intention is to use them again and again and not bury them with the mace. And therefore, there's no chash. Dalek kol marbi kelim mace arizo over mishamal tashkis. It says not only parents are acting irrationally, the parents are acting anti-halachically, because anyone who throws too many kelim or wastes too much money that they want to be usher banah with this mace, I don't mean if they, you know, hire a big funeral hall and bring in a nice speaker for a hesped. Okay, that's their choice how to spend their money. But anyone who just wants Caleb, the Usher Bahanaq, to express their sadness for the mace, that's not a halakhically proper way of expressing sadness. That is just Baltashkas. Simen Shin Nun Aleph. Din Klayim Vitzitzis Lemace. Aleph is a pretty mefurish Gemara. Tachricha Mace Motulasosa Mikalayim. You're allowed to make the shrouds out of Klayim. We don't nowadays. Nowadays, what do we make shrouds out of? What's our minute?
Linen.
Pure linen, pishta. But if you theoretically you could make the shrouds out of klayim, the mace is wearing klayim, which is nisha daraisa. The answer is the mace is potter for mitzvos, so he's allowed to wear klayim. Now we have a big machlokas rishonim here. What about tzitzis? Do you have to put tzitzis on the talus you bury the mace in? If you would bury the mace in a four-cornered garment, nowadays our minhag is we make like special shrouds, and the minhags make certain tzur of shrouds, which are more like regular clothing and don't have four corners. But we also put a talus on the mace. So, and in America, we bury the mace in the talus, inside the box. The mace is wearing a is inside wrapped in a talus. So do you have to put tzitzis on the talus or not? That is a tremendous machlokes rishonim. Tremendous machlokas rishonim. Many rishonim hold you have to put tzitzis on the mace. For example, the Ramban. Tzitzis. The Ramban says chayav. The Ramban says chayav. Why? Why would there be a chayav to give tzitzis? After all, so maybe one of the svaros lemanda amar chayav. A. After tchias hamesa, right? That's the machlok that needed achsam chalif. Well, the remits also lost the lower after tchias hamesa. Give me a second. So number one, maybe for after tchias hamesa, this is called ein mitzvos betelos la'asid lavo. After tchias hamesim, he'll still do the mitzvos. So we'll get up from tchias hamesim, he'll need tzitzis, right? The poor guy, he's going to bury him without tzitzis. What's he going to do when he gets up? Or what's another svara why you'd have to give him tzitzis? So this is pretty mefurish. Exactly. In Menachas Daf Aleph, Loeg L'Rosh, after all, think of it. We're all carrying it, right? You always get like 8 holy guys to like carry the mace. They're all wearing tzitzis, and he's not.
Well, isn't that why you're chunking your tzitzis?
Yes, but nonetheless, they're all wearing tzitzis, and he's not. So maybe it's not so pasha. Maybe it's Loeg L'Rosh, right? Now, however, this is a big machlokes. There's also Manda Omar that you don't, right? There's also a Manda Omar that you don't. All right, this is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam and the Reed. This is basically Bali Tosfos. The Torah just quotes Ezeish Omrim. Tosfos says, no, Osir to put Tzitzis. I don't think there's any Manda where you can do either way. Either you have to or you can't. What would be the reason why it's Osir to put Tzitzis? That's not so Pashut. What would be so bad about putting Tzitzis? So there are 2 Svaras in Tosfos for why you shouldn't put tzitzis. Anyone notice any of them? I don't think they're in the Beis Yosef. Oh, what were the svaras? One was Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was Kidarshin. Dabir al-Biyasul hem tzitzis al-kafeh v'gdehem lidorusam. And he is this drasha lidor tam. To a perfect generation. Because after all, what did tzitzis represent? What did tzitzis represent? 613 mitzvos, right? So if someone wears tzitzis, what does that mean? Yeah. That you keep the 613 mitzvos. It says, but no one keeps the 613 mitzvos. Nowadays, you can't keep most of them, etc. So therefore, he says, he has a drasha of lidorosam equals lidor tam, and it's a dosheker. In lo kiyem kol taryag mitzvos. Therefore, it's eidos sheker.
No sin. There are mitzvos that I can't do because I'm out of the domain.
Okay, so it is an interesting question exactly how it gets to that. The Re has a better shot. Anyone know a little Jewish history? In the days of the Bali Tosfos, people weren't really not good on tzitzis. Most people were not makban on tzitzis. Just like they were makban on tefillin, they were makban on mezuzah, etc.
They traveled around to try to get a rabbi.
The smog,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The smog went around trying to get everyone put on tefillin and a lot of interesting things. Says the Re, it's loeg l'rosh ki hames lo nizhar al mitzvah tzitzis b'chayov. It's loeg l'rosh, all your... All his life for 60 years, he didn't wear tzitzis. Now he's dying, you're putting on tzitzis, you're making fun of him. You know, it's like the guy, you know, was the Bechal Shabbos whole life, and then you give a drush at the funeral about the importance of Shabbos. That's making fun of him. And therefore, it's Dafka Loeg L'Rosh. From these comes some compromise shitas. There are some compromise shitas. One of the compromise shitas is the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah says, it depends if he wore tzitzis when he was alive or not. So one of the shitas Here's one shita. Here's two shitas. The third shita is the Rav Yah. I think it's in the Darkei Moshe. Taloi ha'im nizhar b'mitzvah sitzes b'chayav. Chayav olav. Right?
Yeah.
It depends if he wore tzitzis when he was alive, he put on tzitzis when he's dead. If not, then it would be making fun of him. Obviously, based on the re, not Rabbi Tam. There's another shita of the Mordechai. It's not necessarily in order of how they says the Mordechai. He says, he's clearly worried about the Asid Lavo. He's clearly worried about the Asid Lavo, not worried about Lloyd Larush. Or, I don't know, maybe. Anyway, says the Mordechai, he makes a compromise. He says that, there's different versions of this compromise. He says, you know what? You take the tzitzis and you, tie them at the corners in a way they're not kosher until you untie them, because they're not, hanging down. And therefore, in Tchiyas HaMeisim, he can easily fix it. When Tchiyas HaMeisim comes, he can fix it. Poslim echad min hakanfos. There are various ways to do it. Either you tuck it into the pocket made by that corner stitch, and that's puzzle, or you tie it in a way that it's not hanging down anymore, that it's puzzle, or you untie one. And it's amazing, we'll just retie it quickly. Right? I mean, the rice is very easy to retie it, right? All you have to do is make a little knot, loop a little, make another double knot, and you're set. And then the last shita is the balamor, the razah, quoted by the Torah, no sim oso im tzitzis, the kovrim bli. You carry him out with tzitzis to not make fun of him that you're carrying him with tzitzis, he's not, but then you bury him without tzitzis.
I believe it's the practice in Israel.
Yes.
Mordechai is to also to affirm the other value of Lagarath.
Yes. Yes. Or maybe Lador Tam. You know, you can't really give insistence, but Lasid Lavo needs to be prepared. Anyway, these are the five basic shitas in the Rishonim. How do we paskin? So let's see how we paskin. So the Mechaber is very clear. The Mechaber just says Chayev, right? Says the Mechaber, in Kovers, Amezel, Batal, Sheshbo, Tzitzis. This is the Mechaber, and maybe that's what Sfarim do nowadays. That's the Mechaber, you bury with Tzitzis. Now,
I don't understand. How is he
getting
out of anything? Why would they carry
with
Tzitzis
and
then take it off? Can you
either throw your rush or then take it off? So the answer, obviously, the Razah doesn't think the reason you give him Tzitzis is because of Tzitzis Amesim. Then how would it help? He thinks because of Lloyd LaRush, because if you carry him in front of everyone in the funeral procession without Tzitzis, then it's making fun of him. But if the second before he goes into the grave, then no one sees. It's about respect. If we're all wearing tzitzis and we carry him half a mile without tzitzis, that's disrespectful. But if we carry him with tzitzis, that's respectful. When we put him in the grave, he doesn't need them anymore.
He never needed them. Also, everyone's tzitzis is tucked in, so they're walking through a graveyard.
But nonetheless, we are all wearing, that's his svara. Now, by the way, there's the Rishonim are, and all the Rishonim, the Beis Hillel quotes some of them on the page here in small print, are very bothered by the Mechaber. How is there an inconsistency in the Mechaber? He says Chayiv in Tzitzis. I don't care if it's because of Lloyd LaRush or because of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So why does he allow Klein? Then he should say it's Asher and Klein. So why does the Mechaber Tzitzis Chayiv? But Kleinim Mutter, it seems inconsistent. Either we do the mitzvahs for him or we don't. So the Mechaber is inconsistent. If he had chosen the Paskin, he says, oh, well, we passed the other day and you could bury him a shot. Is that what he says? What? No. So anyone think of an answer? So says the Ramban. What'd you say?
Klein wouldn't be usher even if worn by a blind person. In case it's not.
Aha, like right. Which Rishon said that?
I don't know what else.
What? The Rashbam. Sorry, I have to plug this battery in. Okay. Right? Says the Rashbam, He says alumnus. The Rashbam is like Shivashir. He says, ah. Now, by the way, Kornum go wild on alumnus of this. Well, how it affects sitzes, how it affects all kinds of other halachic cases. We're not getting into it, but it's geschmack. He says, ah, no, we treat him like a live person. A live person has to put tzitzis on his beged, even if he's not nene from the beged. But a live person is allowed to wear klayim if he's not nene. And therefore, once he's dead, he's not nene. Says the Ramban, because the chiyuv tzitzis is chal even without hana'ah, but that's the Ramban. Oh, sorry, that's Rashban. Yes, that's Rashban. My bad. And this black marker is also bad. Says the Rashban. It's one nice lumbus here. He says because the chi of tzitzis is chal. You should know. A lot of people argue on this. Even without hana'ah, but there's no esser of shatnez without hana'ah, and therefore he's halachically allowed with shatnez because he's not a live person with shatnez if he doesn't benefit, which could be a real life case. There could be a real life. Let's say a guy's schmoiling under eight layers in the August sun, and then he puts on the ninth layer of shatnez. That's not an esser because he doesn't benefit from it. The Rabbeinu Tam has a different shita. The Rabbeinu Tam has a different shita. All these shitas really only work in some of the Rosh. Says Rabbeinu Tam, he says, no, tzitzis is loeg l'rosh because it's keneged kol ha-mitzvos. Tzitzis is very choshev, so it's loeg l'rosh. Shanez isn't so choshev, it's just a regular mitzvah. It's not loeg l'rosh. Because it's not chashev, chas v'shalom. I don't mean to say like one of the targets is not chashev. I just mean it's not like a super mitzvah. Tzitzis is a super mitzvah. That's Lord of the Rush. Klayim's not Lord of the Rush, not a super mitzvah. The Ramban gives a third shot, and we'll leave it at that. He says it's Loeg L'Rush because it's nicker. Everyone can see if there's tzitzis or not. Can you see if a beged is klayim or not? You wish you could see if a beged was shatnez or not, right? It would make buying clothing a lot easier. If you buy a suit and you want to know if it's shatnez, you need to bring it to the laboratory and have a microscope. It's very hard to tell if something's shatnez or not. So therefore he says, how can it be loeg l'rosh if it's not nicker, if no one can see it? Okay, those are his hesberim in the mechaber. In any case, we are 90% of us in the room are Ramayim. Are Yotzim B'yad Ramah, as they say. What does Ramah say? Says Ramah, V'yesh Omrim Dein Sar Tzitzis. Yesh Omrim No Tzitzis. Okay, this is the Yesh Ramah B'shem Yesh Omrim. V'nagu, that's not the minag. V'nagu L'kavram Tzitzis Ach Poslim T'chila Tzitzis Or Korchenecha Min HaKanfos. And the minag, says the Ramah, is to bury him in tzitzis, but to passel one of them or wrap up and tie up one of the corners, one of the strings of the corner, so it's not currently halachically valid, so that it's a passel tzitzis. But when Tchias HaMesim comes, he can then fix it. That is the pshat, the minhag of the Mechaber. There's a little bit of machlok, is exactly how much do we passel them. The Shach says, no, don't passel it legamri, then it'll be too hard in Tchias HaMesim. Just like tie two to each corners to each other or stick them inside the seam so that it'll be very easy to fix. The Aruch HaShulchan actually says, no, we actually untie one of the corners before the Kfura. So this is the Ramah Minhag, and this is the Minhag in Chutz La'aretz. Minhag and Chutz La'aretz, you never see the Minhag and Chutz La'aretz because he's in a box. Inside the box, the mace is in a talus with tzitzis on three corners and untied tzitzis on the fourth. However, who's been to a funeral in Israel? Who knows Minhag Eretz Yisrael? What? Is like the Balamor. Minhag Eretz Yisrael is like the Balamor. The Rito Kaczynski writes in the Gesher Achayim, even though it's not the Mechaber, not the Ramah. Okay, Minhag Eretz Yisrael is like the Balamor. It could be that maybe the Ramah also would have done like the Balamor. except that once he's in an aron, you don't want to like open the aron in the middle of funeral procession. It's not practical. And Eretz Yisrael, there's no aron. It's very easy. In the hesbedim, he's in shrouds covered by a talis. And then when we carry the mace in shrouds covered by a talis, and right before they lower the mace into the kever, they take off the talis. And the talis is mutar anah, because the kavana olam was never to bury him in it. They actually give the talis back to the family. They often use the mace's own talis. They give back to the family. It becomes a family heirloom. They can pass it down, whoever, you know, whatever. Give it to a grandson, use it for chuppah, whatever they do. Anyway, this is Minhag Eretz Yisrael. Minhag Eretz Yisrael is like the Baal Amor, is that we take it off right before you load it to a grave. If you ever go to a funeral in Eretz Yisrael, hopefully you won't have to go to too many funerals, but if you ever go to a funeral in Eretz Yisrael, pay attention and we'll see them do it right before they lower him into the grave.
I feel like I'm about that, since this is not going to be around after a few years of being around, my side.
That's a very good question. I haven't seen anyone address this. I give two answers. Number one is that maybe Aryeh doesn't have enough emunas, miktane amana. You're assuming, what do you mean? It's amazing that 500 years that since 5 years, that 5 years that tzitzis will disintegrate. The body might take a little longer, but since it's just clothing underground with all the moisture, it'll disintegrate. Maybe it's amazing will be in a week from now. Why do you have, who gave you permission to have so much savlanot for tchias amesim? We want Mashiach now.
Because it's a natural material.
Yeah. You never heard of compost, what is it called? Not compost. Like, why do people use those like cardboard plates instead of plastic plates? Because they're biodegradable. And tzitzis are biodegradable. Of course they're right, they're just wool.
That's what you do with your messed up tzitzis. You bury them in the ground too.
But we don't know how. Tzitzis are biodegradable. Much more, I'm sure biodegradable much more than paper. Because their mom is soft. They're not going to last long at all. The tzitzis are not going to last. Bones can last for a long, long time. Obviously everything depends on humidity. You put something in the right cave, you know, in the desert, and it'll last thousands of years. In any case, Viker.
Is it better than me to bury this in
No, okay. The second answer is that maybe it's more symbolic, not just practical. Meaning, we don't know when Tchias HaMesim will happen, but we want to show we believe in Tchias HaMesim. And to show we believe in Tchias HaMesim, we prepare the mace for Tchias HaMesim. But I like my first answer, actually. You're just our Miktani Amana. But from now on, you're not. Okay, now we're going to skip a little, because there's a lot of not so Lamaisa dick, or some of them more Lamaisa, but not every day. Simonim, and according to our schedule, let's go to Thomas Kohenim. Thomas Kohenim are very Chomer in Yanim. Now, not everyone here is a Kohen. Who's a Kohen here? You don't a Kohen? Anyone else? Kohanim asks Rabbi Shaila about this all the time. These are very chomer issues because Mamish and Ishida Raisa. So let's at least have a brief overview of Thomas Kohanim. Good idea, Zach. Shin Samach Tes. Al Eze Toma HaKohen Mozer. And try to do it a little bit beketzer. HaKohen Mozer Shalotli Tame Bemes. HaKohen Mozer means Ishida Daraisa. And Ishida Lav Daraisa. You can't be Nitma to a mace. And we know what are the three ways he can't be nipped to a mace. He can't like touch the mace. He can't move the mace. That's called masa, maga and masa. And he can't. The most chamer one is to be under the roof with the mace. That's Thomas Oel. The law called Thomas portion, not to any part of the mace that's been timing that comes out of the mace. Meaning like, whatever. You have to look in the first paragraph of Olos, the kazayas of basar of the mace, etc. Even to a small part of the mace, if it is a shear to be timing. Then he has these nisr. V'lola golev lola dofek. Not even the golev and dofek. What are golev and dofek? I think all the it's a three-way machlokas for shonim. But all the sekelim here say like Rabin of Tam. It means like the tombstone. That's the golev. Everyone agrees the dofek is that which holds up the golev. All the sekelim say like Rabin of Tam. Means the tombstone, like the tzion, the sign of the kever. And sometimes the little rock that holds it up.
Is it the tombstone that's vertical or that's horizontal?
L'chora, only if it's directly above the mace. So that would be the horizontal one. Rashi says it means the actual cover of the grave and what holds it up. Like the lid that they, even Eretz Yisrael, within a coffin. They put a lid over the mace, like made of bricks or cement blocks. And the small stone that holds it up, the Gaonim hold, and historically this is, you know, very likely, that it means in the old days they used to bury in caves, not like we do. And what would you do when you bury in a cave? You'd roll a big stone to cover the entrance to the cave. What would keep the big stone from rolling out? You would wedge a little stone underneath it. And that's the Golel, and the wedge stone is the Dofek. Oh, yeah, those are three pshat of what Golel Dofek are. Either way, the coin is Muzer on these also. Okay, there's a lot of discussion. The Rabbi Kiva Eger is Merames to some of this discussion of what about if they move it and it's no longer next to the mace? Is it still Metame? Is the coin still Muzer? Okay, big machlokas. It would be good to be macher. In any case, v'lo le'ivr menachai she v'lo le'ivr menachai she'ein bo lalos k'dei lalos aruka im haya mechuber, and that she'ein is a little tricky. And really, pasha should be sheyeshbo, meaning this is very important to know. Ivr menachai is metame like a mace. A limb, not a bone, but a limb from a live person is metame like a mace, and a kohen is muzer on that limb, which means that, let's say, the kohen has a limb amputated, he can't be in the room with that limb. Okay, usually people only do amputation if you go to nefesh. Go to nefesh, muzer, you know, the hospital and coming off. But then, like, he can't, like, keep it around. He can't keep it near him. He, like, can't bring it home with him as a memento. That is a problem. But it's only called the limb, haibolalo kadei aruka, meaning if it has enough flesh on the bone that if you sewed it back on, it could regrow. But, you know, once it becomes dried out, etc., then it's not an Eber Menachai anymore. This is what's called schachos upraos in the Mishnayos in Olos. The it's machlokes are shown in what it is, but we clearly pass in one way. What schachos and praos mean is that there's a fence with rocks sticking out, and those rocks don't touch each other. Like a rock sticks out here and here, but they're not like touching each other. If a rock stuck out here and here, it would be one big ohel. If a rock stuck out, I can't do 3D, but let's say this is the tuma and this is the kohen. If a rock stuck out over the tuma and over the kohen and they touch each other or even overlapped with each other horizontally, that would be nisdoraisa. It's the same roof. Even if they're not attached, we say chavit rami. We view it as if it's down and the same roof. That's not the chiddush here. That with chiddush here, there's a type of tumah d'rabbanan, which is if there's a lot of rocks and they're not touching each other, one like this, one like this, one like this, or a lot of branches of the tree, one like this, one like this, one like this. Not like good trees that are covered all around. Like if you stand under the tree in the noon sun, you see, like, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. And you know you have Masorah, there's a piece of a mace buried under one of them, and you don't know which. So each one of those is a suffix, whether there's a mace there or not. Even if it's a Rishos HaRavin, nonetheless, the Xer Drabonim, there's Tuma of a suffix which branch, and a suffix which rock. That's what this means. Again, don't be mistaken. If there's a tree and the leaves create a full canopy, that's considered an ohel d'oraisa. I don't care which leaf has a mace underneath. They're all an ohel d'oraisa. This means if there's one leaf going here, one leaf going here, there's no overlap. One leaf going here, one leaf over here. Ten branches going out and they don't overlap. Only one of them has a mace. All ten of them are asur d'rabbanan for the kohen to be under. That's what the Mechaber is talking about here. And likewise, sada shenechresh bo kever v'yindu makomo, a sada that there was a grave, and someone accidentally plowed over the grave and dragged everything all over the field, a terrible tragedy, and you don't know, either you don't know where the grave is, or you don't know where someone dragged all the bones. What's that called in halachic lingo?
Beis hapras.
That's also an issur d'rabbanan. That's also usher for the kohen. So basically, any part of a mace, any oil with a mace, even this chafos uprosim beis apras, which are darbana usher koin. Not only that, what tomer darbana is usher koin? The chol eretz amim usher koin time behem. All eretz amim chutz laaretz is tomer darbanan. Chutz laaretz is tomer darbanan. There might be mesim. Okay, the 2 days in the Gemara. Exactly which mesim we're worried about. Chutz laaretz is tomer darbanan. So a koin can't go to chutz laaretz. Now hold on a second. Are we makpid on that nowadays? What?
Why not?
So already from practically the time of the Shulchan Aruch, all the Achronim said, oh, but we're not makbid on that nowadays. Apparently, no, they were never makbid for Kohanim not to go to Chutz La'aretz. Already the Maharshal, who's a contemporary of the Ramah, at the same time, the Mechaber Rav called Eretz Tameh, also the Kohanim Tameh, Bahem, the Maharshal, wrote, but now they're not makbid. Why are they not makbid nowadays? This is a big machlokas. Who's, our photographer is in Chutz, in Eretz Amim. Our photographer is Nidma B'Tumas Eretz Amim. We need me Zachariah Lokam Ke Zachariah. Okay. Yeah. Seder. You know, it's not the original, but, you know, it's Chamer Medina is an acceptable substitute. That was worthy of you. So. Bisman Azeh. Osir. Who says Osir? The Mechaber. Mutter. Who says Mutter? So first of all, the Shach and the Taz and the Baragola all quoting the Maharshal. They don't all say they're quoting the Maharshal. The Baragola says Maharshal. I don't know if the Shach and Taz say they're quoting. They say that was only in the old days. Obviously, the Mechaber doesn't think. That was only days of Chazal. In days of Chazal, they were super makbid in Eretz Yisrael. In days of Chazal, the Jews lived all of Eretz Yisrael. I understand. They didn't rule it. The Romans ruled Eretz Yisrael. But the Jews ruled all the municipalities. They ran the municipalities in Eretz Yisrael. And they were very makbid to make sure there were no mason buried anywhere, you know, other than marked locations. Then it was also to go to Eretz Amim. So you're going from Tara Vadoyas to Chash Tova. But nowadays, once already we had the Muslim conquest and the Crusades and this and that, etc., and there weren't so many Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and the Goyim ran the municipalities, and we don't know where anyone's buried. Even Eretz Yisrael is not Tara Vadois. And therefore, there's no answer to go to Eretz Amim when even Eretz Yisrael is not Tara Vadois. Okay, what do we do when Mashiach comes? Okay, Mashiach will have to worry about it. But that's one Svara. One is the Maharshal. This is a pretty chashuv list. The Taz and the Ber HaGola. The Ber HaGola are usually just footnotes, but here it says, I can't just footnote. I have to explain why we don't keep it. Say, because Bizman Hazeh Af Eretz Yisrael Eino Mochzak Vitara. Okay, not a very Zionistic thing to say. But they said, nowadays we're not makbid. There's other Svaras. There are other svaras. If you look in the
is the Taz sending a different answer where he says there were Taros in Eretz Yisrael, as in there was a need to like eat Taros?
I think he really means the same. He's just writing it lav davka. I'm not sure. It could be you're right. I wasn't the dyke enough. But it could also be that he just wrote it in a little bit of a less davka way. So I'll leave that bit. I'll leave that a little bit sorech iyun.
Would their reasoning still apply nowadays for ruba to ruba bodies are buried in known places?
No, because over those hundreds of years, Eretz Yisrael is not as eisgehalten as it once was. Rabbi Kivi Eger, by the way, gives some other svaras. He also says, "V'achshul enogeli zar." Why not? Maybe because of parnasa. Because since it's only a tumah d'rabbanan is mutter for parnasa, and he says nowadays it's almost impossible to make a living I wonder if that's still true nowadays. It's almost impossible to make a living, and therefore they would be mekel, because he quotes from the Gemara that in cases where you want to avoid loss of money, it's much inami. He says, because nowadays we have no efer para. All the kohanim are tummy anyway. What do you think all the kohanim are tummy? Not every coin is necessarily tummy. Think about it. A coin's relative dies, goes to the funeral, right? One of the first to be relatives, and is tummy the rest of his life. There's no paraduma. And every coin at some point is going to accidentally come a when he's a little kid, right? He's a little kindergarten kid. He runs around. At some point, he's going to accidentally get tummy, and there's no paraduma. So he says, nowadays, we're all becheskas tummy, and they wouldn't even gozer not to go to the Eretz Amin when you're tummy anyway. The Gzira, not going to Eretz Amin. Eretz Amin, when stomp people are tahar. But when stomp people are tummy anyway, maybe it doesn't apply. So that's just two other smartas. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's hard to make a living nowadays. Again, I feel like in his days it was harder. Or says Rabbi Kiva Eger, another svara, because kulanu tamei a mason. Everyone's tamei anyway because we have no paraduma.
We will get into this, but is the issur for kohanim to become tamei or to become in contact with tamei even if they're already with Jumo, even if they're already tamei?
We'll get to that. Amir Tzashem. We'll get to that, Amir Tzashem. Okay, but give me a second. In any case, who pushes back against all these gedolei achronim? Pesachei Tshuvas have gotten hay, quoting the Shvos Yaakov. Shvos Yaakov said that even Bezman Ezei Shemim Makbid, like the Mechaber, against all these gedolei achronim. He was also a gedolei achronim. Shvos Yaakov was the Torah Sashlam, remember from our last limud? And he says, in a certain gedolei wrote back to him, and he wrote back, he says, halavai, every Isser should be as clear as this. This is the clearest Isser I ever heard of in my life. So the Shvos Yaakov pushes back and agrees with the Mechaber. Halacha l'maisa nowadays, the Minhag HaOlam is like most of the Achronim against the Shvos Yaakov, against the Mechaber. There are those who are Machmir, like the Shvos Yaakov and the Mechaber, and never leave Eretz Yisrael, never go to Eretz HaAmim. But that is not the Minhag HaOlam. That's not the accepted Halacha. The accepted Halacha is like most of the Achronim, not like the Shvos Yaakov's pushback. Let me fill in another few details, and then I'll try to answer Daniel's question. Oh, first we have to finish the okay. Was that a hint?
Yeah, just for Vager's second answer. So why does that mean that you should be mocking your kids? You're going, you should move to the hilltop in Eretz Yisrael, give birth in your house, and your kids, you'll be mocking them to make sure that they never come to me.
No, but what do you mean you'll be makfid to make sure they never? What do you mean you'll be makfid to make sure they never become tamei? Someday they'll get chas v'shalom sick. They'll have to go to the hospital, and all of a sudden someone will die down the hall in the hospital. And he doesn't mean kulon tamei mason davka. He means most people, the vast majority of people, are tamei no matter how hard they try, and therefore, especially nowadays with our big buildings. Once upon a time, Thomas Ohel was a lot easier. How big could a building be 2,000 years ago? You know, nowadays, you know how big buildings are? So it's really hard to be miserable.
People.
What?
Shimshon
killed 1,000 people when he died. Who? That was a very unique occurrence. But even in Shimshon's case, everyone could see everyone else. It wasn't like a labyrinth. In any case, lo mishaneh. Okay, says the Ramah, famous machlokas, we're not getting into. There's so much lomdas, so many shitas about the din of cherev hariyu kachalal. Chazal darshan, bachalal cherev. Why do you say bachalal cherev? The cherev is like the chalal. If I kill someone with a sword, the sword becomes as tame as the person. What does that mean? Tremendous machlokas. Some Rishonim say in the Nosakelim it means any kli that touches a mace becomes like the mace himself. Avi avos atoma. Other Rishonim, like Rabbeinu Tam, say only a metal kli that touches the mace, because cherev is metal, becomes avi avos atoma. Another machlokas. Some Rishonim say any kli that touches a mace becomes an avi avos atoma for anyone who touches it, but not in the ohel. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no. A kli that touches a mace is avia v'satoma and is even metamim the ohel. According to me, metamim, it's crazy. Anyone who went to a levaya and wore a metal watch, from now on, every building they go into, everyone in there becomes an avatoma. Because the Cher of Rabbi Yochol, it's like a mason into the building. So said Rabbeinu Tam, who remembers the famous, I don't think it's here, you have to know Shas. Who remembers the famous line, says Rabbeinu Tam, that, I'm not going into the whole Lom Sugi Nazar. A Kohen, if Cher of Rabbeinu Kecholol, then a Kohen's not allowed to be Matame to a metal kli that came in contact with the mace. And if I'm wearing a watch that I wore to a funeral, a Kohen can't be in the house with me. His Talmud, Rav Chaim Kohen, the Baal Tosfos, Rav Chaim Alevi, the person, Chaim Kohen. What did he say? What quote did he quote from the end of Yeshaya back to Rabbeinu Tam? Eze bayis asher tivnu li. What house can I walk into? You basically made me not able to go into any house in the world. Every house has a kli that came into contact with the mace. Didn't even have to touch the mace. The kli was in the hole with the mace. It's ridiculous that a Kohen can't go into any house. We pass like Rav Chaim Kohen. A Kohen is muzzer on the mace. But a Kohen's not muzzer on what in halachic lingo we call cherev hariyu kachalal, on the kli that came into contact with the mace. It's metame like a mace, but the Kohen's not usher, it's metame. Why? Because it's metame like the mace, but it's not a mace. It gives Tumas mace, but it's not a mace. The Kohen is only muzzer on a mace, not on Tumas mace. And that's what the Marma Paskins, Yeshom Tumanama, certainly Tamil the Cherishin of a mace. Some people say that's Rabbeinu Tam, that a Kohen is not allowed to be nitma to a sword that touched a mace. The yesh makilim and some are makim chenagu lahakalein nusar lezen. The minhag for makim, we don't worry about it. A Kohen is not. No, I've never heard of anyone worrying about this. It's a good thing briskers are levium. So if they're kohanim, then they'd probably worry about this, and then they wouldn't be able to go into any buildings. So there's many reasons why it's a good thing briskers are levium. Someone told me the brisker rav once said that Yerushalayim, there's so many people buried there over the generations, and they moved the city so many times, and you never know what was a field, what was a cemetery, what was a village, etc., that if he was a Kohen, he wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. Because you never know, maybe like...
He also maybe did the same, that was maybe the
distance. Yeah, I assume he assumed that Shev El Tasa Adif. Now, talk is cheap, he was a Levi. I believe it. A real brisker, I believe it. I don't know what he would have done, but I believe he would have not wanted to get out of bed in the morning. Okay, good thing briskers are levium. In any case, a few more important details. The Taz have gotten Aleph, and that's discussed a lot in Pesachei Tshuva's gotten Beis, says even a Nefel is Tumas Meis. A coin can't be Nitma even to a stillborn or miscarriage. Even to a stillborn or miscarriage, a Kohen can't be Nitma. That's a very important Chumrah. It's actually interesting. Al Pidin, the Poskim write that Al Pidin, you have to bury a miscarried fetus because otherwise you could make a Michshel for Kohanim. Even though there's no Chiyuv Kvura because a miscarried fetus is not yet considered a full person. There's no Avelos, but you still have to bury the miscarriage or the stillborn, Lo Aleinu, to award a Michshel for Kohanim. That's Al Pidin. Al Pi Minhag, Al Pi Sod. Then we say, no, we bury because there's Ochet et Chies HaMesem, and, you know, Al Pi Sod, we actually treat them like a person. But Al Pi Halacha, the Chiyafur is because of this Taz. I mean, it's not Chiyafur, it's a Taz. Just putting something in the force all over Shas. Then in Nefil Zasha, there's a big discussion of Bezei Tshuva. At what point? We say we're not bekiyim in exactly how they define the nefel. Basically, once 40 days have passed, might have passed a pregnancy, we're machmir for the kohanim. This is actually a big issue sometimes. What if a kohen's wife miscarries? Then he can't be in the ohel. It's a hard halacha. But that's the halacha. What? No, that's only if it's a live kid, not a nefel. It's the worst of both worlds. Other details that come up here is the discusses what about just human skin? He says that's still midrabanan metame, and therefore the Kohen can't be with a kazayis of skin. He says what about ashes like the Holocaust? How about ashes of a mace? So we paskin, he brings about focus, but we pass like the Shilas Yavetz. The ashes are not matami. It's pretty mufurish in Mishnayos. And all those, the ashes are not matami. Therefore, in the Poland trips where there's only ashes and no bodies, that's not a problem for the Kohanim at all. Ashes are not a problem for the Kohanim. What about a burnt body that was like burnt into charcoal, but not yet turned into ashes? So that he also discusses there in Kofli Abates that says also from the Mishnayos and Olos that if it's the full body turned into charcoal, it's still matame, but once it loses a little of the body, then it's already considered like ashes and it's not matame. In the Poland trips, what they the way they chesmen out the Kohanim is any place they're only worried about ashes, the Kohanim are allowed to go. But places where Jews might have been like killed because like they bombed the buildings and whoever was in there, the buildings collapsed on them, and there might be bodies underground, then the Kohanim can't go there. Like in the ghetto, there are places in the Warsaw ghetto where, you know, in the uprising, they just bombed the building and whoever was in there was buried under the building, and then the Kohanim can't go there because that's regular bodies. But in the camps where all that's left is ashes, the Kohanim can go.
They're in Eretz Haman already.
It's assuming, like our minhag, that. No, because Eretz Haman is only Drabanan. Here we're worried about the Issa Daraisa.
Why would you say it's something to Mabir Shisabad?
That's all. That's whatever. I mean, I could give you an article that a friend of mine wrote on this, who did a lot of the research, and is a bit of a Bucky and Taros, where he goes through and all the svaras: what's a suffix, what's a vadai, what kind of suffix, etc. There are places where you have historical records that there are dead bodies, and that's not a suffix anymore necessarily. Okay, what else? Did I want to point out? Pesach Tshuva Gimel says something obviously in Yehuda. The Yisra Eivir Menachai is even from his own Eivir Menachai. I mentioned that before, but Pesach Tshuva Gimel, no Yehuda. Even if the Kohen's own limb that they amputated, he's not allowed to be in the Ohel with the Eivir Menachai.
Was it only a Gezaias?
No, Eivir Menachai, it doesn't matter if it's a Gezaias or not, but it has to be a full limb with a full bone and tendons and flesh. And it has to have enough flesh that if you got a good surgeon to reattach it, it could theoretically regrow. Don't ask me exactly how to measure that in practical terms. I'm not a scientist. But it's obvious to me that that tumah of Eivir Menachai would not last for very long. You know, eventually it would dry up. But don't ask. I'm not enough of a scientist to give you details. What else did I want to mention? I'm not going to get into every single detail here, as you can imagine. I'll just mention one last detail, which is the big discussion of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The first Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he points out, etc. This is very controversial. There's a Ravid who says, this is what Daniel asked before. There's a Shitas Yachar, the Ravid, who says that if a coin's already Tameis, then he doesn't get Malkus for being Nitba again. Now, that's a bit of a Shitas Yachid. He's arguing with the Rambam and most Rishonim. What does that mean? That any, nowadays, he assumes we're all Tmei Mesim. Okay, maybe you'd have to know, but any Kohen whose relative died and was once at a funeral, any Kohen who's once accidentally caught someplace where someone died, right, he was in the hospital and someone died in the next room, whatever, in a way that's Matami Doraisa, any Kohen who's coming doesn't get Malkus being Nitba again. There's a bit of a machlokis. A, can you be mitzarif this ravid as a tzav l'hakel in shilas? If there's other seikos, did the ravid mean it's only an issur d'rabbanan? Did the ravid mean it's an issur d'oraisa that malchus? If the ravid meant it's an issur d'oraisa that malchus, not much of a kula. But the ravid meant it's only an issur d'rabbanan. Then already you could say, well, maybe it's only an issur d'rabbanan as well as that. So if there are other seikos, we can be mekel. L'maisa, this ravid is in a lot of modern day shilas, they always throw in, there's a machlokas, should he throw in the ravid or not? Should he throw in the ravid and say, well, maybe nowadays, it's not really necessary to rice because we're talmid anyway. There's another famous machlokas that we're not going to get into now, whether Kohanim bizman hazeh or vadai Kohanim or only safek Kohanim. Because after all, we don't have a record of Yuchsin back to Aaron HaKohen. Right? How do we know that Where's the first place we read about Kohanim not having a good record of Yochsin? Even before the Rambam. Ezra Nehemiah. It says that the Kohanim didn't have proper Yochsin, so he declared them Safik. Kohanim was machmir on them. He's a tremendous machlok achronim. Come on now, the Yudin of Reis. He clearly, the halacha is that he can dochen, but he can't eat truma d'oraisa. Why? Is it because d'oraisa is a kohen that made a churma b'alma that he shouldn't eat truma because maybe there's some other Rappaports are better yochsin than the truma? That's the Chazanish based on many achronim. Or no, that means d'oraisa is not, he's only a safek kohen. And therefore, he could do things that wouldn't be such a big avir if he wasn't a kohen like dochen. It's not such a big avir for a non-kohen to dochen. What? It's only this year. We paskin bracha l'tolls only drabanan, and therefore it's not such a big avera against the Rama, against the maybe Rama, but he can only do things which would be nisur drabanan. Anyway, it's a big machlokas. There are the big controversy. I'm not getting into it now. Is in Thomas Kohanim nowadays there are two controversial snifim lahakel, which some people say you're a reform rabbi if you even mention them. And other people say, no, it's a snif lahakel. Number one, maybe the raivit, where if you're tummy anyway, it's not an issue to raisa. And number two, maybe you're only safek kohen. And if you put them together, well, if it's only an issue to rabbanu, you're safek kohen. Maybe it's a safek rabbanu lekula. There are people in the old days in America before, you know, there were, before people were decently firm in America, there were all these people who came with svaras say, well, I'm tummy anyway, and maybe I'm not a kohen anyway, so I can go to funerals. And there were people who were very makel about that. Nowadays, I don't think anyone's that krum anymore. What?
And also the thing about, like, I always forget some parts of our Koran about, like, you
know. Okay. Anyway, Lemaisa. I'll mention it if you force me. Okay, Lemaisa, it's just something to know that these are two radical tzadim lekula that people, some people take into account, some people don't, but they're very weak tzadim lekula, so you can't make too much of them. Rav Goren had his famous kula. Rav Goren was matur. Everyone knows a kohen can't go to medical school. I think that's like Makobel in the modern Orthodox community. If you're a kohen, you don't grow up and go to medical school. Rav Goren said, no. I still don't understand why. He says, now that we have a Jewish state, Kohanim have to go to medical school. I'm not sure how that started. Like, if he says, now that we have a Jewish state, Jews have to go to medical school, then I understand. No, that makes sense. And then the question is just exactly where you go from there. Well, I can't have a Jewish state and Kohanim don't go to medical school. Kohanim also don't work for Chabur Kedisha. But whatever. So he came up with the famous Rav Goren had to go on and go into medical school, which is what's called a Rav Goren special. There are a number of psakim that only Rav Goren holds from and no one else ever agreed with. This is one of them. That he said, no problem. Let the Kohen just tell his friend to wear a watch to a funeral. And then give the watch to the Kohen. And the Kohen will wear this watch all the time. Now the Kohen's wearing the watch all the time, he's always touching a mace. If he's always touching a mace, he can also do autopsy lab, because it's not also to touch two mace when you're already touching one.
You can't touch the first watch.
You can, because we're making like the Ramah. It says, and this is the case, you can have your cake and eat it too. Le'enyan, the answer of the Kohen's allowed to wear the watch, because it's not a mace. But Le'enyan, mattering, touching a second mace at the same time, it is a mace. So if he's touching one mace, why can't he touch the second one at the same time? He's not doing anything. That was the famous kula of Rav Goren. This is like, it's a competition among every rabbi since Rav Goren. Like, how many reasons can you find why it doesn't make sense? You know, it's almost like those books of the 500 Beis Yosef Kashas on Hanukkah were at this point. You know, you're only real posik if you have like a 10-page essay with 100 reasons why this doesn't make sense. The Rav Schechter, I think, has this in his piece on Thomas Kohanim. Lemaisa, we don't rely on this sock of Rav Goren. I was never clear to me what why he felt this was a necessary sock. But okay, obviously he had his opinion. Don't get me wrong. It's not that everyone else is a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rav Goren. Rav Goren was a bigger Talmud Chacham than everyone else. He was just a very, very, very radical thinker, halachically. And we generally do not paskin like him. Sometimes when you're such a big Talmud Chacham, you're just too smart for everyone else. Like Bimar says, we're apostate for a mayor because no one understood him. And in general, the Klal Gadol b'Din is that we don't apostate like Rav Goren. But we don't underestimate we don't underestimate his Torah knowledge. That would be a bizayon talmid chacham, and wrong. Okay, Shin Ayin. If there's no further questions, Shin Ayin. But I do remember in America, like 100 years ago, there were all these like Orthodox rabbis here at Mahanaim used to do funerals by saying, "Oh well, it's only Rabbanan because it's made me say anyway because once my father died, and I'm only a Suffolk Cohen, and Suffolk Rabbanan is the cool," and they would put those two sudden together, and then all the talmid chacham when they heard about this, because the rabbis weren't really talmid chachamim back in the day, said that we don't rely on that at all. Shin Ayin, Mi Choshev Meis Av Mishodin Chai. Who counts as dead even though they're alive? Okay, this can be a little gory. Any little kids should put your hands over their ears. Misha Nishvara Mafrakto Varov Basar Imo. Someone whose neck was broken, the spinal cord was broken in their neck with most of the flesh, and then Shach points out that if they're old, even if it's not most of the flesh, someone is skinned from their back like a fish. Even if they're still alive, like they're moving around, they're considered dead halachically. Umetame, and they're metame like a mace. Okay, hopefully you won't have to see things like this. And the Shach adds other cases like this. Someone who's chopped in half, someone whose spine was cut through, etc. Aval, but what's more halachamai? It's a goses. Goses is someone who is dying. Literally, goses means rasping for breath. I don't know if you ever saw someone die, like, naturally. Not someone die when they're in the hospital hooked up to machines and they're not doing anything on their own, and the way you know they're dying is this machine goes beep, beep, or whatever it does, and then, like, the lines change. But someone is dying at home, but they stop breathing at a certain point, and they have a raspy, heavy breath. That's goses. So goses, someone who is about to die, someone who's trachea and esophagus were shechted. Someone who's just wounded a lot and is about to die. And metastasis and after. No, halachically, those people are about to die and they're considered dead halachically. These people are about to die and they're considered alive halachically. Umikomako. That's all not so important halachal maisa. The interesting case is goses, there's a machlokes amorayim. Halavai, we knew which amorayim. Chlokes amorayim, a goses is not matami v'ohel. Everyone agrees. But maybe it's still usher for the Kohen to be nitma to him. Now, I said illogical words. Maybe it's still usher for the Kohen to go into the room with him, even though the Kohen's not nitma. Why? Because for a Kohen to go into a room with someone who's about to die is a chilul of kahuna.
You can go to any hospital.
What?
You can go to any hospital.
Then it's an interesting shiloh. What about going into any hospital? Maybe every hospital has a hospital has a goses. It's an interesting question. Okay, let's see where we paskin. It's either machlokas Rav Yochanan or Shlokish, and we pass like Rav Yochanan, or Abai and Rav, and we pass like Rav. So, like, depending on your gear, so we pass like two different days. So that's why it's machlokas Rishonim. Without listing the Rishonim, we'll just read the Shon Aruch. Even though he's not tummy, since he's putting himself in a position of imminent tuma, it's still an iser to go in. V'yesh matirin, and some are matir, and thrama v'tov lahachmer. So what about a goses? Right? So there are three deos. Right? The mechaber says usser. Usser, that's the mechaber. Mutter, that's the Yesh Omrim. And Tov Lahachmir, that's the Rambah. What does Tov Lahachmir mean? It means that if someone wants to legally enforce them, but a Yuri Shemayim should be Machmir. But if you have to go to the hospital for some reason, Tov Lahachmir should be Machmir. But if you're stuck, you can make them. What? Only by Kohanim, yeah. You don't have to worry. This is all for you to do. But this is controversial because the Shach in Simchat Daza, the Bachosa Dimi Dina Tzarech Lizar, the Inkam Mokam Lifsok Lekula. It's an Isser Midina. The Bach goes back to the Mechaber. The Bach and the Shach go back to the Chaber, and therefore, l'maisa, the minig is the Kohanim still go to hospitals when necessary. Because after all, they don't mamish know if there's a ghost ace, maybe it's a different wing in the hospital, maybe the doors are closed, etc. But if you have mamish, a room with a ghost ace, then the Kohen should really, really be machmir, even if he's not so mahadrin. Because the Shach and the Bach pass like the Mechaber against the Ramah, that it's not just Tov L'Hachmir, it's Tzorich L'Hachmir. That's the Shach Sifkaten Dalid. However, the Shach comes up with one possible Kula.
Hospital
Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Eretz? Eretz Yisrael. In general, hospitals in Eretz Yisrael are bad news for Kohanim. Sometimes they have a sign, Kohanim can come in, Kohanim can't come in. The signs are far from 100%. And the minhag of Bnei Torah is that Kohanim don't go to hospitals unless they have to. Meaning, you know, if someone's sick in the hospital and you need Bikur Cholim, you know, the Kohen sends his wife to do the Bikur Cholim, and he makes a phone call, or he Zooms, Skypes, FaceTimes, whatever you call it, WhatsApp videos, the fellow. You know, if the Kohen, whatever, you know, he could see the doctor, and the doctor has hours in the office in the hospital or hours in the Kibbutz Cholim, he goes to Kibbutz Cholim. And if the Kohen is sick and needs to go to the hospital, then he goes to the hospital. That's a general minhag of Bnei Torah, that if the Kohen has to go to the hospital, he has to go to the hospital. But if it's not medically necessary, then he does not. That's sort of the compromise, since you're always getting into all kinds of sfeikos and you never know. I just want to point out one or two more things. The Shach does come up with some slight kulas. He says, since it's not an isser of tuma, it's an isser of what they call chilo lehechalo. The lashon of the Gemara is to go into the room, or the Rishonim to go into the room. Maybe it's only also to go into the room with the ghostes, not to stay in the room with the ghostes. And therefore, he says that if the Kohen's sleeping in a room and there's a ghostes, but the ghost is not going to die yet, you don't have to wake him up. You know, if the Kohen's like stuck, like basically, he says there might be kulas for staying in the room when you're stuck, maybe even the Gamre, but at least when you're stuck. Because since it's not Toma Mamish, it's a separate issue, maybe the separate issue only going in. To go into a place with a ghost ace, that's a Cholul my Kahuna. To stay in a room with a ghost ace, maybe that's not such a Cholul. After all, there's no Toma. So that's an interesting Kula. The Shach, the Pesach Tshuva's discussion, what about a Kohen going to treat the ghost ace? It says if the Kohen thinks he can preserve his life, that's a Heter Pikuach Nefesh. And I'll just mention one last thing, a fascinating discussion, the Pesach Tshuva, the Chassam Sofer. What was happened? There was a case where there was a rule of the government, they probably still have this rule, that you can't bury a mace until the doctor signs a death certificate. I'm pretty sure we still have this rule. And there was a town where there's only one doctor, or one doctor appointed by the Board of Health, and he was a non-firm Jew. It says, can the non-firm Jew go and sign the death certificate and visit the mace to sign the death certificate?
And he's a Kohen.
And he's a Kohen. Sorry. Not from Jewish Kohen. So say that some sofer. Avada, he can't. He should quit, and they'll find a Goyish doctor or a Yisrael or a Levi doctor to do it instead. Says, but what? But he's not from. So he says, the from people want to know, can they call the non-from Kohen doctor to sign the death certificate in order to bury? So, what concept could he use to paskin this? I mean, maybe more than what he says. Meis mitzvah. You can't bury. A Kohen's allowed to be nitma for a meis mitzvah. If there's no other way to bury someone, the Kohen's allowed to bury him. Because otherwise he'll sit and rot. The dead person will sit and rot. It says in this case, for the Kohen it's usher, because for him it's not a meis mitzvah. He could quit and someone else will do it. But for us it's a meis mitzvah. We have to be machshel the Kohen, because since he's not throwing, he's not quitting. The only way to bury the mace and not let the body rot is to call the Kohen, and therefore he said it's mutter. Okay, just a clever logic. A clever logic. Why isn't it? Oh, because meis mitzvah the Kohen himself is only if there's no one else who could do it. And here he could just quit, and another doctor will do it. Because the other doctor is not appointed by the Board of Health. You know, he's the only one who's authorized by the government. Shin ayin aleph din ol heyach mevi ha toma. Okay, Shin Ayin Aleph is a difficult siman. Shin Ayin Aleph is a complicated siman. It's a very important halacha l'maisa, but it's a little complicated in Yonim. We can get stuck for a long time on it, and I don't want to get stuck for a long time on it. So I'll try to summarize. I'll even go so far as to say that I will try to summarize some Shinayin Aleph. If you're a little behind, then like move on and say there's Shinayin Beis. And I'll try to summarize Shinayin Aleph, you know, half today, half Tuesday. Again, I'm going to apologize the next couple of weeks because of my weird travel schedule. And because of Yom HaTzmaot, you have to follow the schedule, right? Just to keep in mind, there's Shir. Three Shirim this week, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, two next week, Monday, Thursday, and one the week after, only Tuesday. So you have to take this from the box if you don't have it, and please make sure to try to come when we have Shir. Lomai said, Shinayin Aleph, did all Hechmei Betoma, also the coin, the coin is tachta, all Shamis tachtov, a few little harbi. The coin can't be under the same roof. Again, the you don't need walls to spread Toma. Under the same roof spreads Toma. He can't be under the same roof as the mace. Even if it's a very large roof, and he's 1,000 feet away. Even if he's in a different room, which is just open to the room where the mace is, how open does it have to be? Even if the opening is only a square tefach, right? This big. Still, that's considered one big ohel, and it spreads the tumah, and he's not allowed to be there. And the post can point out from the Shnayis and Olos that that's if it's a regular hole. If it's an accidental hole, it's more mako. It has to be like the size of your head, like a hole that was made by accident by the workers when they built. It has to be the size of your head to spread the toma. And if it's a hole made for light, it could even be like 2 fingers by 2 fingers, or which is a pundion and a makdeach, and that's approximately the size, like 4 centimeters by 4 centimeters. Okay, so, but let's assume it's stam tefach by tefach. Now, how about the following case? What if... this could happen. Sometimes you have like the kind of pergola where there are like slats, and maybe the slats don't overlap. There's a little space between the slats horizontally. So do you say that, or you're I'm under some sort of, you know, protected grate which has like slats, or I'm blocked up, air conditioning duct, right? See this air conditioning duct? Oh no, that's not a good one because it's actually all overlaps. But let's say between me and the room where the mace is, there's like a screen door.
But like that, but if you just turn it the other way.
Yeah, or this one. Like there's a lot of holes here. But none of them have any tefach. Did they add up to a tefach by a tefach? The answer is no. It only spreads the tumah if there's one hole the size of a tefach by a tefach. If there's a lot of small holes, you know, basically, if like in the window, there's like this, and it's like 9/10 of a tefach by 9/10 of a tefach, and there's 1,000 squares, doesn't let in the tumah. Has to be one hole of a tefach by a tefach to let in the tumah. From here we see, by the way, that we don't say lovud in Tumas Kohanim. Otherwise, you'd say it's all considered close. No, there's no lovud by Tumas Kohanim. They say there's no lovud b'hakel, and also no lovud b'hakel. There's no lovud by Tumas Kohanim. In any case, the next ubayis also ubayis at olam. Even if I'm in a room which has an opening to a room, and 100 rooms later there's a mace, that's all considered one big ohel. The Tumas spreads also at d'oraisa, we're going to be there. V'im sasam hanekev. What if you plugged up the hole? Right. This is a big discussion in the second paragraph about Basra. If you plugged up the hole, right? Hopefully you remember. What if you plugged up the hole? Then you can go into the next room. Because then you plugged up the hole, it's chotzeis, it blocks the tumah.
The same door?
What?
The door?
Yeah, or just stuff something in the hole.
So you're in a different room as the
mace,
you're fine?
As long as I block, I close the door. Right?
So the mace is in a certain room and he dies.
As if there's like a mace in the other room and he dies, you hold the door.
Example.
Closed.
No, example. If there's a mace in the hallway and this door is closed, I don't get into a close shot and pause, then you do those fine.
Oh.
Then he's fine. Even if there would be, let's say there's like a hole in the wall here. I don't know, I don't know why there'd be a hole in the wall. A hole in the wall here that's a tefach by tefach. If I just find some stuff and I start stuffing it in that hole to stuff it up, then we're also fine.
That's a lot of hospital issues.
What?
And that's a lot of hospital
issues. And that's where a lot of the big hospital shilas come from. I mean, the air ducts, the ventilation ducts in the hospital are no problem. Tumah doesn't go through there because there's never a tefach opening. There's just a lot of little openings, right, which don't add up together. The issue is, when are the doors open, when are they closed? It also has to do with something called Sof Tumah Latzeis, so we'll have to get to, so we'll come back to. But yeah, basically, if I'm in a hospital room, and I'm a Kohen in the hospital room, and I close the door, I don't care if there's 100 dead people right outside the door, it's perfectly mutter for me to be there, because the door blocks it. Again, this is all against the Taz, but no one holds like the Taz. We'll get to it. So there's even a case in the Gemara, right, where like the Kohanim were in like there was a shul and there was a mace next to the shul and there was like a little window in between them. Maybe like that's the Mukher of Hasidic women sections. And what they did was they wanted the Kohanim to go to shul, so they just stuffed something in that window and blocked it off. Now, what counts as blocking off a window? By the way, afilu lo bitlo liyo shamo lamis. Even if I stuff something in the window and I don't intend to leave there permanently, it's still considered closing up the window. We're not going to get to Lundas now, but he says, if I stuff up the whole window, even if I only stuff it up temporarily, that blocks the tumah. But if I stuff it up partially and there's still a hole, it's just less than a tefach by a tefach, then that only works if I stuff it up permanently. Meaning, I either have to close it fully temporarily or partially permanently, and what's left is less than a tefach. Those are the two ways to stuff up a hole. And then the Rama adds, V'chol dover mekabel tomei nechutz ne'atoma. But here's the big tricky part. Only something that's not mekabel tomei blocks tomei. Whatever's mekabel tomei can't block tomei. So into that hole, I can't stuff anything mekabel tomei. How do you know what's mekabel tomei? The Shach gives you very easy suggestion. Gimel ayin baram hovas kelim mahim had mahu dvar mekabel tomei and lav. I just look at the round, everyone knows what's mekabel tomei. So you have to know what's mekabel tomei, what's not, to block the tomei. And that's also part of the issue in these things. Usually when it comes to hospitals, etc., what blocks the tomei is the building itself, like the things attached to the building. No one stuffs things in. But if you want to, you know, you close doors, windows, etc. But if you want to stuff things in to block the tomei, you have to make sure you're using something that's not mekabel tomei.
Closing doors not built into this?
Doors are not mekabel tomei because they're attached to the ground. So then it's not a problem. Even the Taz, who says it is a problem, it's not for that reason. Okay, before we go on, let's finish the Ramah. I hope I'm getting everything I wanted to say, and if not, then Beseder. There's a long discussion of this very difficult Mishnah of the Kovrei Hames, but add the Ramah, v'lo mikri stima b'chalon kem yocholam v'lo smicha. It's only called blocking something if the thing I block it with can stay unsupported, can stand on its own. If something has to support it, then, like if I have to keep my hand on it, that doesn't count. Or if I have to put like something in the kabel tomei to support it, that doesn't count. Has to be able to stay on its own. Here's a machlokes in the Taz and everyone else in the world. All the Achronim reject the Taz. For example, in Pesachei Tshuva Sukkot Vav, he quotes everyone in all the small print, the Kedushi Gershuni, Gilim Arshan, and the Nekudas HaKesef, says, the Taz says, our doors don't block tomei. Because all our doors have metal hinges that support them, and therefore they're supported by something, and they're not considered to block tomei. What? All our doors are only there because they're supported by the hinges. So they're supported by something. They're not considered an independent barrier. And everyone says, no, that's crazy. The hinges are built into the door. That's not considered something else supported them. That's part of how you build the door. And therefore, no one's kosher for the Taz is twice in the Sivan. He says, our doors don't block tomei. That would be a crazy chumrah. Then Kohanim would be in big trouble according to the Taz. But no, every single Achron disagrees with the Taz. They know. What does it mean? It means, let's say my door is broken. It doesn't stay closed. So I like put my hand on it to keep it closed. Or like put a box there to keep it closed. That doesn't block tomei because it doesn't have independent staying power. But if it's built in a mechanism that I just built a good house with like hinges and with a doorknob, etc., that's all part of the house. And of course that's not called something that doesn't stand on its own. It stands on its own, it's all part of the house. And therefore no one worries about this Taz. You don't even have to bother to read the Taz, Sivkot and Gimel, because no one agrees with him. Just Okay. I didn't in Sif Aleph discuss the very fascinating Shach Sifkat and Aleph and Pisrei Tshuva Sifkat and Aleph.
What about the Taz's Psak regarding curtains?
What about the Taz's Psak regarding curtains? We also assumed that if the curtains attached to the building, then it would be and it would block the Torah. Anyway, Lemaisa, I want to come back to that. So again, I will come back to summary of Shin Ayin Aleph next time and try to move ahead. We're a little behind, but we'll catch up at some point. So let's, to be continued, Emirat Hashem, continue our Hilchos Avelos Marathon, Emirat Hashem, on Tuesday. Good to see your face, Zacharia.
Sorry?